prosíme pána Otca, srdce to čas, entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text 49.
Victorious over the influence of Veronica Sibu by the grace of the Spirit.
is dealing with the natural order that exists within the universe. And various living beings are placed within the universe according to their pious behavior or impious behavior. Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita how in the higher regions of the universe, he says, Brahma Loka is the residence of the sannyasis, those who have faithfully maintained the vows of sannyas may attain Brahma Loka at the end of their life. It is said that the brahmacharis, they may attain tapaloka at the end of their life. And then there are the mahar and jalalokas, where very pious grihasthas reside. It is said in the mahar loka, the prajapatis are residing. And the prajapatis are basically absorbed in formal austerities, in order that they can qualify themselves to attain good progeny, and in this way populate the universe. So although the Prajapatis, they are engaged in sexual activity, but in a very, very pious way. And then below that are the heavenly planets, where Dharma is predominant. And in those heavenly regions, the mode of goodness is the predominant mode. And therefore, within the heavenly regions, everyone is concerned with how are things done properly, according to the principles of Dharma. And subsequently, sexual activity is also enjoyed, but according to appropriate religious principles. Then we're coming down to the middle planetary systems where the mode of passion is predominant. And that means first the tendency is there to enjoy the senses, and then philosophy, then good instruction, then Dharma comes in as an afterthought. And finally, the lower regions of the universe, where the beings are simply suffering to become purified from their previous sinful activities. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that one is placed in a particular situation in the universe according to how one gets involved with lust. And when lust is expressed in sinful ways, we suffer. When lust expressed in more pious ways, will get pious facility. So up to the topmost, where the Prajapatis are residing in the Mahar Loka. But it is said that at the time of the partial dissolution of the universe, which happens at the end of every month of time, there is, from the mouth of Ananta states, who is at the bottom of the universe, there is heat coming up and it touches Mahar Loka. Even Maha Loka gets affected by that heat. But Jana Loka, where sages are simply absorbed in austerity and in remembering the Supreme Lord, is not affected by that heat. So the residents of Maha Loka, the Japanese, travel to Jana Loka at that time. Anyway, that is an interesting consideration. So Hiranyakasipu was clearly not qualified to be in the higher regions of the universe. He had no business to be there. How was it possible that a demonic personality even became so powerful? How was it possible that he even attained the heavenly regions? The reason is that he performed austerity in an offering to Lord Brahma. And it was by the benediction of Lord Brahma that he was lifted on both his natural position. And it was on the strength of the piety of Lord Brahma that he was enjoying a position in the heavenly regions and was able to subjugate all these celestial beings, and in this way disturb the order of the universe. However, it was certainly not possible to maintain that position. Any position of opulence in the material world is temporary. A position of opulence may be attained by demoniac personalities by the forms of great austerity, but it cannot be maintained for long. The demoniac can never hold these positions for very, very long, whereas pious personalities are rewarded by the Supreme Lord, and they are given ample of opportunity and time to enjoy great material opulences, which they then can employ in proper activity, in performance of sacrifice, in performance of the glorification of the Supreme Lord. We may recall that Narayana in a previous life was a Gandharva who once, instead of glorifying the Supreme Lord or his representatives, sang an ordinary mundane love song. And for that had to come down to the little planetary systems. Because that doesn't exist in the heavenly regions. So in this way, the upper regions of the universe are very different. Although we are reading that the demigods are enjoying in the heavenly gardens of Nanda Kanan, we should understand that there is so much piety in these heavenly planets, that there is constant prayer being heard, that there is constant mantra being chanted, that there is constant glorification of the Supreme Lord. In this way, there is constant connection with Vedic knowledge, constantly that is there. So very different from the middle planetary systems, which is almost covered by passion, where passion is just so predominant and where one has to sort of, in the midst of so much madness and confusion, try and chant the Gayatri Mantra, right? Or try to remember the Supreme Lord. So this order in the universe is an eternal arrangement, which is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. Just as the universe is sometimes manifest during the day of Brahma, sometimes not manifest during the night of Brahma. But the universe, even if sometimes powerful demons can disturb that order, it will always return to the default settings. And the default settings are this order where the demigods, the pious souls, the suras, are in that position of opulence and are worshipping the Supreme Lord. But not anyabhimasitasunyam, not in the state of being free from any other desire. Having pious desires, but having desires for enjoyment. And in that way, the Vaishnavas are interested. The Vaishnavas are interested only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see the example of Maharaj Prithu, who alone with his queen was at the end of his life taking vanaprastha, performing great austerity, focused on the Supreme Lord, and then Vaikuntha plane to both Maharaj Prithu and another Vaikuntha plane to his good wife, and they were going up. And the demigods were showering flowers. And the demigods were seeing how these flames were ascending into the sky. And then the demigods saw that they came from below, from the planet Earth. And then they saw that these flames went past the heavenly regions, and until they disappeared out of sight. And so, in this way, we understand that the path of the Vaishnava is beyond the mode of goodness. However, the mode of goodness is important. We read in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita about the Ashwatthama that has the Urdhamula and Anasaka, that has roots upwards and branches downwards, a tree that is upside down, and which means it is the reflection of a tree. When the tree is reflected, it will be seen like that. So this tree that resembles, that represents material existence as its roots in the spiritual world. And this is the principle of pratibimba, or of reflection, that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And that thus, we are seeing whatever is manifesting in the material world is corresponding with the spiritual world. However, when the reflection is in the mode of ignorance, we can consider it like a tree on the bank of a pond, and when there is a lot of wind, the tree is reflected, but all you see is maybe some color. You can only see the shape. When the wind is less, let us say the mode of passion, then some warped form can still be seen. But when there's no wind at all, then the reflection is much more close to the origin. It is the same form. Although it is not the same, the reflection is never the same as the original. Say it is a mango tree, one can see the mangoes, one cannot taste the mangoes, one cannot, one doesn't get the full dimension. So even the mode of goodness remains limited in its experience. But the mode of goodness is transparent. We're seeing that Vedic culture is bringing us two elements, both the mode of goodness and it brings transcendence. Part of the Vedas is Trigunya Visaya Veda, is within the three modes of material nature. So many Vedic literature are offering us practices in the mode of goodness. And such practices in the mode of goodness are elevating. They are purifying. And they can gradually bring us to the point of approaching the Supreme Lord properly, to become a proper receptacle of the mercy. As the mercy of the Lord is incessantly raining down in various ways, through various personalities, through scriptures, through various means, that mercy will either fall upon the mode of goodness, fall upon, come to persons in the mode of passion, or come to persons in the mode of ignorance. When the mercy reaches those in the mode of ignorance, they can also, when they're eager, they can also take up devotional service. They can also turn to Krishna. But it is hard for a person in the mode of ignorance to maintain the principles of devotional service. Even for one in the mode of passion, it is hard to maintain the principles of devotional service. It is a constant battle for a lifetime. Therefore, a person who is in the mode of passion would do wise to passionately engage in devotional service. With a lot of energy, with a lot of eagerness, and that passion will become purified. A person who is in the mode of goodness will naturally be inclined to its thoughtfulness, to its philosophy, to its acting according to prescribed injunctions, to take shelter of scripture. So then it is easier when the mercy of pure devotional service comes to such a person, it's easier to maintain. Anyway, however, there is one problem Those who are situated in the mount of goodness and have formidable qualities may become proud. Just like it is even in our movement, we can see this problem. As it is said, that almost everything, almost all inauspiciousness can be destroyed from the heart by regularly hearing and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Srila Prabhupada was asked, why almost? He answered the question on, the question was asked on numerous occasions, and he answered it in different, in various ways. But Srila Prabhupada said, almost all is destroyed because when we become learned in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a risk we become proud. We become proud. And that pride will again be an obstacle for taking advantage of the mercy of the Lord and greed and envy. So sometimes those who are fallen, those who are coming from the lower modes of material nature are in a good position to maintain humility, realizing I am thoroughly fallen and I'm only here because of mercy. And that, of course, comes for most of the Kiratas, the Nandas, Palindas, Bodhisattva, Abhira, the Sambas, the Kasa, that comes for all those countries in the world. Kiratas means Africa, the Hunas means the Germans, East Germany, the Palindas means the Greeks, the Italians, the Spanish, all the Mediterraneans, the Balkans, the Khasas, the older Chinese races, the Andras, I forgot, in South India somewhere. So all these are races that have taken shelter of sinful activity. That means that are totally affected by the loss of ignorance and passion. Of course, even in pious places in the age of Kali, they are very eager to import sinfulness in any possible way they can. And Prabhupada would sometimes say, old crows and new crows. And that the old crows eat garbage, but when the new crows come and start to eat garbage, they eat it with great gusto, you know, with great eagerness. So, when in this way, we can appreciate that is not so simple. Somehow or other, this movement is extremely powerful. It is extremely powerful, and therefore, even those who are from who have taken shelter of sin can become purified and transformed. And that is really what is happening. Prabhupada said that this movement can turn crows into swans. I listened to this lecture 100 times or more, and at the end the children are also calling out, Jai. Everyone can see that this is a wonderful thing. How can crows turn into swans? How can we be here in this transcendental abode, in this place which is meant for those who are great devotees of the Lord, not for ordinary people? How can common men come here other than by great mercy? So in this way, it is essential to remember that we are recipients of great mercy, that we have been elevated beyond what we deserve, that somehow or other, keeping that in mind, we may continue, and being always eager then to take shelter again and again until the last moment of our life. We are never safe. There is no question. Now I'm safe from my maybe great personalities like Srila Prabhupada could not be affected by Maya. But we should not think that ever we are in that stage. And we're seeing that even great Mahabhagavans are seeing themselves as very fallen. We're seeing how Srila Prabhupada also on many occasions was having a very humble vision of himself. Like when asked how many disciples, he said, "I don't have any disciples. Krishna sent me many spiritual masters." How could he see it like that? Could that be real? Could he really see it like that? But why not? When we appreciate that everyone is unique and that everyone has unique qualities by which they serve Krishna, and we see how someone else is serving Krishna, I could also do that. And there's one can learn from anyone. And we see, the other day, we were visiting Madhavan and went to Dhruva Tila, the place where Dhruva Maharaj was sent by Narayana Muni to perform his austerities and perform his Astanga Yoga, to make a deity of clay and worship the deity, and to chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was just being elevated by that mercy. And it somehow or other, he was not coming with proper motivation. He was not actually approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the right intentions. But nonetheless, the process was so powerful that ultimately it attracted the mercy of the Lord. And then by the mercy of the Lord, the final adjustments were made. Dhruva Maharaj was becoming perfectly pure. So we could appreciate how we also did not come with proper motivations, with pure desires, but somehow or other, by the process, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who added mercy to this process, by the mercy of all the acharyas, and finally, by the mercy of Sri Prabhupada, who especially adjusted things for us and prayed for us, prayed to the Lord to uphold this adjustment, only 16 rounds, only. And that in this way, we are suddenly in the most exalted position. In a position which even the demigods cannot attain, although they are so much greater than we are. So this is the potency of mercy, that mercy can elevate us to the top of the position. And that is what is transpiring. And that is amazing. Amazing. And all it takes is to somehow or other keep our heads low. To bow down at the feet of the Lord and at the feet of the spiritual master. To keep our head low is not a type of gymnastics. It is not an external thing. It is not just about putting the head on the ground. It is not that we are just bowing the body. We're meant to bow our will and to give up our independence and to just for once give up our stubbornness and for once just do it the way that Prabhupada wanted us to do it. And if we do so, even if we don't do it perfectly, as long as we are eagerly trying, then somehow or other, mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, the mercy of all the acharyas, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy of Krishna, will all make up for our shortfall. And in this way, we are here. It is interesting that when Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur were in Jagannath Puri, they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were sitting on a raised platform in an assembly. And they invited Sanatana Goswami and Haridas to sit with them. But Haridas and Sanatana Goswami did not do so because they never forgot where they came from. They did not forget that they came from a fallen position. Although Sanatana Goswami was from an aristocratic Saraswati Brahmana family, he had become fallen by engaging in the service of Mahamudras. He never forgot. Haridas never forgot his Mohammedan birth. So, who has no skeletons in the closet? Who can say that he came from a wonderful background? I don't know who could say it. Maybe some can say he bowed at your feet. But I cannot say. I can definitely not say. So we cannot forget. We cannot forget. So that we will not again become distracted by such foolishness. Just Surashidara, the razor's edge. And one is shaving and one is inattentive. Cut. Spiritual life means to not forget, to be attentive and taking shelter and coming from where we came from. We need to be very serious about taking shelter so that we remain strong throughout this lifetime on the spiritual path and then pass by the heavenly regions to the spiritual world and continue our service eternally. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments?
What is at the... Where does Indraloka fit in between Jamaloka, Tamaloka, and
just below? So the heavenly regions where Indra's temple is Swark, which is just situated below the Mahamrijana and Tamaloka. Some might be planning to go, but I tell you, it's dangerous. You might get stuck. You might get tempted. You might be very renounced in this world. Be very renounced, not so renounced after all. So I don't want to go there. Here I can be renounced. Too much suffering. It's easy.
Also, but the Asuras are in power, so how will blood rectified and all out from the natural sin.
When we read the Ramayana, then we read about how Ravana is flying in the sky. He has just stolen the Pushpaka plane from his brother, and he's accompanied by all these demons, and they're all flying, riding in the sky, and different animals, and they are just defiling yajnas, they're coming down, they're feasting on the flesh of sages and all this stuff. They are powerful. They're powerful demons. The demons of today are not much powerful. So, therefore, it's not even required, you know, that they need to be rectified by some special arrangement of the world. Just the regular material energy is enough to crush them. Something like that. You know, we live so short. This planet is called Mrityuloka, the planet of death. And from the perspective of the higher planetary system, when they look down here, they look upon us like, my God, these creatures, they live so short. So sure. And you make such a big thing about it. I'm so big, I don't know. So sure. Almost, it's getting shorter every day. We're bringing them on ourselves. We poison the air, we poison the water, we poison our food, we take drugs. We're just making sure we shorten our duration of life. But we used to wonder, how is it that at the end of the age of coming, people will live only 25 years? But nowadays, I mean, it's not hard to imagine. I mean, is this going to be the end of coming, or is it coming soon? 25 years, the way we're going. So, you know, demons come up, and they're already dead and gone before you know in this stage. So the Lord rectifies sometimes directly, sometimes through his material energy and his agents. But every single one gets rectified. There's no doubt about it. And how it will happen, you will see. Whether the oceans will really rise 20 meters. I'm Dutch, so watching these things. Poor whether something else will happen. We will see whether it's nature, whether it's war, it's a combination of all these things. Energy, the demonic things in this world will be destroyed. It is said that a diamond looks very nicely on a black background. Therefore, it is said that the golden avatar looks very beautiful on the black background of Kali. So, we care more about the form.
So in thinking about how different modes, they predominate different parts of the universe. So I'm wondering, those in the mode of ignorance that can engage in devotional service.
The question is if people in the mode of ignorance can engage in devotional service. Yes, anyone can engage in devotional service. And devotional service is so powerful that even those who are in ignorance, they can even continue in devotional service. Like in Amsterdam, when Prabhupada was in the Vondelpark, all the hippies were there and everyone was stoned and they thought it was far out. And Prabhupada said, for these people, no philosophy. Just hear some new song. Too far gone. And I was there also. Somehow, now I am in there. So, yes, it's possible to take your Krishna consciousness from the moment of ignorance. And this movement is very proof of it. Think about it in the morning when you brush your teeth. That's how powerful Krishna consciousness is. Okay, I thank you very much.